Right. Yeah, well, I want to thank Sean and Blake for the opportunity to come and tie the knot. We've got a, is that right? Tie the knot? Yeah, okay. Good. Well, we've got a theme for tonight, and that is it's almost finished. There's a problem with that theme. The problem is with the word almost. That is a problem. That's a bad word used in that setting, okay? It's kind of like this. Let's say you almost passed your final exam. That means you failed, right? That's not a good thing. Or how about this? Oh, I almost made it across the street before the bus came. Huh? That's a bad thing. What does that mean? It means you're dead. Okay, so here's the deal. We have an issue. We have an issue because Jesus gave us his great commission. Sean shared it earlier, Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? That's our commission. It's not a suggestion. It's a commission. Big difference. Okay, so it also says in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom should be preached in the whole world as a testimony to every nation or people group, and then the end will come. So how are we doing? See, the church is almost finished with the Great Commission. But how close are we really? Anybody want to guess how many unreached people groups in the world today? A lot. Good guess. Smart. There's approximately 7,000 people groups who have never heard the gospel. I'll give you a few examples. There's the Sasak people. The Sasak people. I'll tell you how many there are. Millions of them. Millions of these people. Actually, 2.8 million Sasak. How about the Gadaraya people in India, 6.3 million of these people, they have not heard the gospel. It's an unreached people group. Or the Burmese of Myanmar, 27 plus million people. They need to hear the gospel. 3 million more people in Morocco. 45,000 Lolo people in southeastern China. And one more, 8 million Somali people in Somalia. These are unreached people groups, 7,000 unreached people groups. In these people groups, there are over 2.9 billion people living, and they haven't heard the gospel. We're almost finished, but are we really that close? Well, we still have quite a ways to go. We need to do something about it, amen? And I'm going to encourage you tonight, you can do something about it. I'm going to give you some specific examples tonight. Now, the word that I want you to think about when it comes to missions is this. The word is triage. What does triage mean? It means to, like, you have to prioritize the level of need. I want you to see this video. This is from the movie Pearl Harbor. This shows triage on the battlefield. So watch this.
Only those that can be saved you bring in here. You got that?
I can't.
No, please do it. I need you to do it. Go! Go!
Okay, so what she's doing there is sorting out the people who need to be helped in the most serious manner, okay? The same thing happens in a emergency room in a hospital. Let's say these three guys come into the emergency room at the same time. I'm the doctor, right? Okay, well, the first guy, Zach here, he wants to sell us some new medical equipment. Now, it's probably important. We probably need some new medical equipment. Okay, but the second one here, Bo, he's just broken his arm playing football. Now, which do you think would be more important for the doctor to see? Obviously, right? Bo, the guy with the broken arm. But also, in comes Jeremiah. He's just been in a car accident. He has a serious head injury. Who do you think is the most important for the doctor to see? It's Jeremiah, right? Now, all of these people, they have the same value. You know, it's not the issue. The issue is which is the neediest? Who is it that needs the help? And it's the person with the severe head injury, right? Okay, so how about in missions? When I say triage, I'm thinking triage in world missions. Well, think of it this way. Three different types of people. We as missionaries need to reach out to. Here's one of them. We have Zach the Christian. He lives in a Christian area. Should missionaries work in Christian areas? Nothing wrong with that, right? That's okay. Here's another one. This is Bo. Now, Bo works in an area, or he lives in an area, where the gospel is available, but he's just not interested. He'd rather listen to his music. He's just not interested in the gospel. He has access to the gospel. He's just not interested. That's the area he lives in. And then there's Jeremiah. Jeremiah lives among one of those 7,000 unreached people groups. He's one of those 2.9 billion people. And here's the issue. They don't have access to the gospel. The gospel isn't there. There aren't churches. There aren't Christian TV and radio stations. That's the problem. They don't have access to the gospel. Now, this is the most significant issue in missions today. This is why we have that word almost in our theme. Where do you think the missionaries are working? You got Christian areas, you got areas where the gospel's available, but they're not interested, and then you've got the unreached. Well, first of all, Christian areas. 80% of missionaries are working in the Christian areas. Everybody should go, ooh. Thank you. Okay. How about the areas where the gospel, it's there, people just aren't interested? 16% of missionaries are working in these areas of the world. Oh. Okay, good. Any mathematicians here? What does that leave for the unreached? Good job over there. This is missionaries. It's on the screen. This is, got to be quick around here. Okay, so this is where missionaries are working. I'm not talking about pastors and teachers. I'm talking about missionaries. 80% are working in Christian areas. 16% are working in areas where the gospel's available, but people are just saying no. 4% of missionaries are working among the 2.9 billion unreached people groups. That's why we have this issue. Almost is a problem. Okay, you guys can sit down. Thank you. All right, so now here's what I want to encourage you in. I want to tell you about three people real quick. Anyway, I want to tell you about three people. First of all, there's this guy. He sat out there where you guys are sitting at one point, and then he was on the cast. He was in Youthquake cast. He went on a mission trip. He was only 9 years old when he went on this mission trip to Monterrey, Mexico. And we had set up in the street. And so we had some chairs and some things. We were going to do an open-air evangelistic-type meeting out in the street. Okay, so we're set up. We do some drama, sing some songs. We draw a pretty good-sized crowd. We want to share the gospel. I had the opportunity then to preach the gospel. So I'm standing there with my mic, little PA system. I'm preaching the gospel. All of a sudden, I see this old, small Mexican lady come up here right about here, and she falls down on the ground and she starts flopping all over the place, making all kinds of weird noises. True story. I'm standing right here. I'm looking at this. Whoa, what is going on? The pastor, who's a pretty big guy, and another man, they're trying to calm her down. She throws him off. She's old. She's little. But she's throwing off these men. They can't calm her down. So this is what happens. This is what Daniel does. He comes up to my side. He says, "What's going on?" I said, "I think she's demon-possessed." This is what happens. Daniel walks around. This is all he does. He doesn't do some Indian rain dance. He doesn't have to talk like some tele-evangelist in the name of Jesus. No, he doesn't have to do any of that. This is what he does. Seriously. He walks up. He puts his hand out. He says, "In the name of Jesus, come out." He turned around and he walked back and he stood right here. I'm standing here and I'm watching this 9-year-old boy, like a lot of young people out here. I see this lady just calms down right there. Yeah. She calms down. The pastor and the other man help her over. They sit her on a chair off over here. I remember when we left, we got in the van, we're pulling out. She's sitting there just as calm as can be. He just cast out a demon in the name of Jesus. Now, here's the deal. This is what I want you to get tonight. You can cast out demons in the name of Jesus. You, sitting right here tonight. This is a former Youthquake cast person, okay? You can cast out demons in the name of Jesus. Another story. Jen, she did what's called a discipleship training school with YWAM. She went on this outreach to Nepal. They had to do some trekking, like 13 hours of trekking in the Himalaya Mountains. Very difficult. Had some emotional breakdowns on the way, physical breakdowns. I mean, it was very difficult trekking through the Himalaya Mountains. They were wanting to get to a village that they had targeted where they believed the gospel had never been. Awesome, huh? What a way to spend a couple months. Anyway, so they get to this village, and there's a whole lot of sick people in the village. Jen, who sat right out there where you guys are sitting one time. And she was on Youthquake. She was in Youthquake cast. Okay, Jen puts her hand on a man's side and feels the tumor on his side, or the lump at least, on his side. She can feel it with her hand. And she prays in the name of Jesus for that man to be healed. She literally feels the tumor leave. The tumor left. Now, here's the deal. Not only can you cast out demons, you can lay hands on the sick and they will be healed in Jesus' name. You who are sitting in this room, all of us, we can make a difference. If we just step out and go, we can make a difference. Last example, Kathleen does this discipleship training school. She did it here in Jacksonville. On her outreach, she went to Ethiopia. Pretty awesome place to go to Ethiopia, right? At one point, they got to minister to a naked tribe. That had to be interesting. But anyway, yeah. So they did. So anyway, they're doing a service one night in a village. They're doing this service, and they're in this, I don't know if it's a church building, but some sort of a building, and this girl starts to get really sick in the middle of the service. And so Kathleen is by her, whatever. She gets the girl near the back of the building. Another one of our team members, Suresh, is there, and this girl is getting worse and worse. So they say, what are we going to do? We got to get a taxi or something and get her to the hospital. So they find a taxi. They get this girl who's really getting, it's bad sick right now. It's a bad situation. They get her in the back of the taxi. Kathleen is in there. Suresh is in there. The taxi's taken off down the street, going to a town that's got a hospital. On the way, the girl dies. She died. They stopped the taxi right on the side of the road in the middle of Ethiopia somewhere. They stopped the taxi. They get out. They take the body out of the car. Suresh is standing there. He's weeping. What are you going to do? It's a horrible situation. Kathleen is sitting on the ground, the head of the girl, no breath, no pulse, been dead for a little while. The head of the girl is on Kathleen's lap. What are you going to do? Kathleen puts her hand on this girl and asks Jesus to show up. He showed up. He gave this girl life again. Yes, true story. True story. You can raise the dead. You believe that? You can. You can cast out demons. You can heal the sick. You can raise the dead, all as we're out preaching the good news of Jesus to those who have never heard. The key is, are you willing to go? That's the issue, right? We have so many distractions. One more quick story. Written about in Reader's Digest a few years ago. This married couple up in the Northeast, they take early retirement. What do people in the Northeast do when they retire? They move to Florida, right? Okay, yeah. And they're all driving. But anyway, yeah, so so they move to Florida. And it's written about in a real positive way, okay? So they come down here, they buy a yacht. And they spend a lot of time playing softball. And they're out on the beach collecting seashells. So imagine the day they die. And they see Jesus. And they go up to Jesus and they say, hey, Jesus, look at my seashell collection. You know what that is? That is a wasted life. That is a wasted life. You were created for so much more than that. Amen? You were created for so much more than that. We need to stop chasing this American dream. More stuff, you know, the American dream kind of a thing. You go to a good school so you can get a good job, so you can make a lot of money, so you can buy a lot of things that you don't really need. That's the American dream. Here's the dream that we need to live for. It's described in Revelation 7, verse 9. Revelation 7, verse 9 says this. It says, people, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. That is the dream of God. That is the dream of God. People from all these nations, all these unreached people groups, having people there around the throne worshiping Jesus. So my encouragement to you tonight, my challenge to you tonight is live for God's dream. Amen? And quit chasing this American dream. It's not even a real thing. It ends in, you're not even fulfilled at the end of life. You know, you have your yacht and you're playing softball and you have your seashells. That's what you get with the American dream. What I want to encourage you to think about, what I want to challenge you to make a decision about tonight is living for the dream of God. To see people around the throne worshiping Jesus. And the guy who narrated this last video, Lauren Cunningham, he says this. He goes, all the easy places are taken. All the easy places are taken. We're going to have to go to the places like Afghanistan and North Korea and Iran. Those are the places we need to go to. So, we're going to give you an opportunity tonight. In your seats, Blake mentioned that card. You need to fill that out. Get your pen out and pencil, whatever, and fill it out. You're going to have an opportunity tonight to do something in missions, or to make a commitment at least to do something. So what we want to do is we're going to give you a little bit of time. We're going to have some music here. We're going to do one song, and then we're going to give you an opportunity to turn your card in. And we're going to collect all of them, and we are going to, you know, we'll follow up. So I want to pray. I want to pray. Then we're going to do this song, and then we'll have one more invitation that's very important. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you move in this place right now for your glory, Jesus, because there are so many people who need to hear about you, and there are so many people in this room right now who know you, and we ask you, God, to put it on all of our hearts to do something, to go. I ask you, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to touch hearts now in Jesus' name.